Yes. No more drama. This is Roderick Owen Speed. You know, one must get to the point, to the place in their lives where they become fed up with drama. You'd be surprised how many people have overdosed on drama. It has become a tradition to slander people nowadays, whether it's politics, whether it's church. And people have forgotten constructive criticism and have really embraced destructive criticism to destroy. Are you ready for a new life? A new adventure? Yeah, it's available to all of us. Those who will accept that there is a new way of living, there is a new way of talking, there is a brand new atmosphere for your lives. You'd be surprised how words can cause stress. Words can cause fear. Words can cause, believe it or not, even premature death. Words. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that embrace it or love it will eat the fruit thereof. The fruit of what? Death or life. And God has given us a choice. Believe it or not, whether we live or die. And to be spiritually dead is apparent. And it's also scary because one scripture declares she's dead while she yet liveth. I don't know about you, but there is a better way of living. And you know, there are people who make a living. The tabloids, many parts of the media. There are people who have actually made a living professionally with lies. I mean, lies go unnoticed because people are afraid to expose lies. You'll find gossipers protect gossipers. People will come to you and say, you know, I heard this or that, and I dare you, try this. I don't live in this realm, but I want you to try this. And try it next time, and you will have it happen. Someone come to you and they will say, they will have some news to tell you about someone else. Go ahead and ask them who said it, especially if it's about you. I heard you did this or that. I heard you said this or that. Ask them who said it. They will, most of the time, 9 times out of 10, you know, there are rare occasions, people that's been set free from the spirit. But most of the time, people will say to you, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to expose or disclose my sources. And you can hear it on media. I've heard this from sources. And there have been people who put in jail simply on hearsay. Sad. It's so good to be protected by the Most High God and to have a relationship with God. But I dare you to disperse this type of spirit by saying, pardon me, I'm not interested in what people have said about me. And get a record for yourself like I do. I don't have that problem because most people, they can tell whether you are a gossip protector or exposer. And so you try it. It's a good thing to try, because if you're in front of a person and they will not, and they have some news to say about you, and they will not expose the person who said it, then guess what? You're looking right in the face of a wolf, of a bone carrier, spirit of a straying dog, you know, just going from alley to alley. And some people, alleys are over certain people's houses. People will group up and have a cup of tea just to get their talk on. And you know what's sad? There are people of age. My God. I mean, there are people past 60 with a spirit of gossip. I mean, you would think that they would be spending their time in a more effective way and passing down some revelations and ethics and teachings and wisdom and knowledge. But we have people of age that are gossipers. Now listen, a gossiper is not a person talking about a certain issue. A gossiper is one that carries bad news or hearsay and seek to slander another person's influence or character. We have character people who are involved in character assassination. They're spiritual snipers. I mean, do you not know there are people, and you will experience this whether it's church, on your job, or especially family, kinfolk, they are at the top of the list, you know. But you will experience this. And in every walk of life, there are people who will plot on you. Plot, I mean, sit up and meditate. You know, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But it tells us to meditate day and night and observe to do all that is written therein. And then it says that how we will make our way prosperous. And you're, again, prosperity is not about where you live, what you drive, what you wear. Prosperity is about a peace with God, your relationship with God, and how you love others and have you have an effect on others. The fact of the matter is this. There are people who will plot and try to trip you up and try to, and this has nothing to do with fear. Nothing to do with fear, but it has to do with a strong insecurity that have some involvement in fear, but more or less, there are people who are so insecure that they think that they can just plot on trying to discredit you, and it's amazing to me. And there are people that when they hear the truth, they will look at it as a lie.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell the truth about there are pimp preachers, there are some people that are loyal to those pimps. They will say, you're trying to slander my pastor's name. You see, there's somebody that's that has been bewitched, because the word of God deals with those who look to have gain on the backs of the poor. It's no different than politicians. It's no different than in all walks of life. So you have people who are not satisfied, believe it or not, unless they are running somebody down. I mean, they love it. They will put their mouth to the side and twist their little lips, and they will invest their time and energy in dogging someone else out. And you get those same people around people who have good things to say. They are not comfortable. They're uncomfortable. Isn't that amazing? Think back when you were in school. There were cliques, isms, and schisms there. You can go back to elementary and see, people learn these things from parents. Where does racism come from? It's a tradition. People teach it. Where does hatred come from? People teach it. And you know what? More people learn to hate, not from what people say. See, bad mannerism, it has less to do with what people say. It's those side body languages. You can be with a person and see another person, you with your little girlfriend or your little associate, and someone can walk in the room and you can look at your so-called friend and give a certain eye. And that eye, and one scripture talks about an evil eye. King Saul, the scripture says, eyed, E-Y-E-D, eyed, is the word they used to use, eyed David. King Saul looked at David with envious and jealousy, the brothers of Joseph. We can go on and on, Cain and Abel, and you know, Democrat, Republican. And we can go on, preacher. You know, we have pastors who are envious of the gift of an apostle and prophet. Yes. We have, every area. So nowadays, you don't have to open your mouth. You can look at a person and think a thought. But I must warn everyone that everybody's a celebrity. Everybody's on camera. If people want to be famous, everybody's famous. You know why? Somebody's talking about you. and so that's why, listen, you can't live your life. And God really blessed me, and I want to share with you. I give him absolute, total glory for this. God blessed me at a young age to start looking at certain things. And one of the things he shared with me, I began ministry at the age of 14. Years of age. I was 14 years of age. And so out of 33 years of ministry, I still feel like this is day one. I don't feel like I've accomplished anything in my flesh. Yes, there's many, many souls all over this world that's been affected by God in me. But I take no glory. I take none. But I want you to know, I have been blessed from the Lord with the Spirit, and this is what it is. I don't thrive on compliments. And see, too many people, they need it. They need to have a compliment to feel like they are somebody. They need, some people, they need to put somebody down in order to feel up. Come on. They need to see someone sad in order to feel happy. They need to see somebody broke in order to feel like they have more money. They need people to be gossiping. They love it. And so remember this. Someone that carries a bone has another one buried somewhere else. So God bless me not to thrive on the approval of man. I mean, you know, let's look for example. And the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15. Yes, that's where it's at. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, not to the pastor, not to the preacher, not to the mothers, not to the deacon, not to the church. But it says, study to show yourselves approved of God. See, because if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. That's a statement that, please, I beseech you, take it to heart. You that have become servants of compliments and you thrive on the approval of people, I beg of you, not as a beggar, but as a king, get rid of that spirit. I mean, my God, if you have to tell somebody that you, if you have to hear that you look nice, have you heard of a mirror? If you have to hear every day, we have men and women, if you have to hear it every day that you look nice, you did a good job. You listen, that's for a child. You know, there are mothers that don't let people talk about their daughters and how pretty their daughters are. There are mothers that don't even go for that. You understand what I'm saying. So we have to be careful how we relate to one another. Yes, yes, some people are glory seekers. They want glory. Oh, they got to have some glory. So they will plot to try to diminish someone else's light. That's the problem in ministry. That's the problem with our churches. That's a big problem, jealousy and envy. And you can always tell a jealous group or jealous people, number one, they will be in denial of that jealousy. They will never admit that they are jealous. They will justify their evil ways. So understand this. We're in the day and time when Samuel was raised by Eli. There came a time when Samuel, although he was a student, he was in the temple, he grew up and told Eli about his ways. Eli let his two boys commit all kind of sins. So you have to understand. You have to understand that you have to get to a place. Let me tell you, sons, you that are of age, don't be afraid to tell your mother in all honor, mother, you're wrong. And you mothers, why is it? There's a tradition in most families, and there's a tradition that goes like this. Mama's always right. Let me tell you something. My name is Roderick Owensby, a king in the earth. And I'm not ashamed of it. Mothers are not always right. As a matter of fact, mothers can be treacherous. Now watch this. You got some women that say, ooh, that's a shame how he put down mothers. See, that's a person that does not have the balance of hearing. You know, when you become an adult, you make your own decisions. You don't have to disrespect your parents, but there's a time that you have to even tell your parents. When you are of age, you have to tell your parents in a nice way, in a respectful way. But there are some parents who will not like the child that will say, Mama, you're wrong. And they will cleave to the child that's too afraid to say, Mama, you're wrong. You know, mothers, you can't expect your child to be a baby forever. I refuse to be. There are some fathers. There are many fathers who are just actually wrong, wrong, wrong. Yes. So just because you become a parent, that's not a license of righteousness. Parents are just as... Let me tell you something. We got a lot of parents in jail. So being a parent, get rid of... We got prideful parents. Being a parent does not mean that God wants you to be self-righteous in parenting. And so, amen, I felt that, like it or hate it, it's the truth. And that's the problem with many ministries. We done lifted up our mothers to the point, it's almost like Catholicism. We done start worshiping mothers. Now we have a bunch of of-age mothers walking around thinking they are holier than thou. They're righteous because they had children and raised children. Well, that's no ticket to heaven. And that go for the men, too. We have a lot of men that are self-righteous, a lot of fathers that are self-righteous. So don't live your life in pursuit of vainglory. Listen, there are a lot of people that have an addiction for approval. You know, compliments or approval makes us feel good. Rather, it is our belief that there is a validity to the compliment. You have to, in other words, when somebody come and compliment you, you need to know where it's coming from. You know, there was a woman that followed Apostle Paul. You can read it in the New Testament. And there was a woman that followed Paul, and she said some preachers nowadays will love her. She said, servants of the Most High God. I mean, she was really lifting them up. But after several days, Paul picked up on it. He knew it was not a spirit of God. I'm very careful of someone that always trying to compliment me. I don't need it. When you know who you are, you don't need it. Oh, yes, you know how to say thank you, thank you, thank you. But, my God, when does it stop? I said this the other day. With ministries now, we got more anniversaries, appreciation. I had a notice the other day inviting me to some appreciation of a musician. And, I mean, just everybody being appreciated. The deacon, the ushers, and, you know, you got appreciation this, pastor's anniversary this, then you got the dues, and you got this and that. Listen, let's start appreciating Jesus. Let's start appreciating life. Are you saying, Roderick, that we shouldn't appreciate one another? Clean your ears out. I'm saying we have become so involved with ourselves until we're losing out on who God is. And only time we want God is when we want something. So to many, God has become a sugar daddy. You got people that lost the real meaning of paying tithing. They only paying tithing to get a blessing. And so let me sow my seed. Nowadays, when you say seed offering, people think money. Well, what about a seed offering of love? We lift in so many offerings. Some places, I went to a church one time, they lift 5 offerings. And the deacon came out each time and said, we need this, we need more of this. Oh, my goodness. It has become not an offering, but auctions. And listen, that's how we have many dictators that rise up in the earth, deceiving many people, because people go for stuff that seems like everybody's going for. Have you lost your mind? The majority has never been right. It's always the few. Come on here. There were over hundreds and hundreds of prophets came against the prophet Elijah. Yeah. So we have to understand, when you have purpose and God has given you the wisdom, be careful. Don't seek the approval of people. Some people have lived most of their life trying to be accepted by their own people. Waste of time. Gird your loins. Fasten your belt. Put on the whole armor and walk forward. Look at this. And we are not the passive victims of others' opinions. You see, because their opinions are powerless until we validate them. Think about what I'm saying. We give validation to people's opinion. And when you validate somebody's opinion of you, you become a slave to them. You become their slave. Dun, 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 boom. With a whip of perception. It's like being whipped all the time with the perception of other people. Psh, think this way. Psh, think that way. Psh, don't be this person's friend. I don't like her, so I don't want you to like her. Psh. Come on now. And you become a social slave to the opinions of your surroundings. You know, the prophet Isaiah said, when God called him, he said, listen, I'm a man of unclean lips, and the people that I hang around, they have unclean lips. And I guess that's why Isaiah's lips was dirty, because he hung around. See, people take the word cussing and four-letter words and stuff, and they look at that as, oh, my God, they get religious. Oh, did he say that or did he say that? Okay. But, you know, there's another way to cuss somebody out. It's when you sit around with your cup of tea or hot chocolate or donut, and you slander a person, you are a coward. Go to the person's face and tell them. Don't hide behind a network or hide behind a religion. Go to the person's face. I'll never forget, years ago, I was invited to a certain city, and God began to use me, and We saw many signs and wonders and miracles. The real ones. No fake junk. Authentic signs and wonders and miracles. And the Holy Spirit began to use me. And I give him all the glory even for that. For everything. And so there were people who were coming from other churches. And I never forget this one pastor came. And after service he came to me. He said, "How you doing, Doc?" And I looked around, you know, because, you know, Doc, I got to think about that spirit. And he said, "I heard some of my members been coming to this revival." And I said, "Well, I don't know who people are." He said, "I just want you to know I'm the Reverend Doctor." And he said something. His name doesn't even matter, and I wouldn't repeat it anyway. So when he got done telling me his name is Dr. Reverend blah, 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 I looked at him and I said, "Can I see your hands?" I guess he thought I was a soothsayer. I guess he thought I had a word. I said, "I don't see any holes in your hand." And I said, "I'm looking at your forehead." He was taller than me, so I had to look up at his forehead. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so I said, "I don't see any marks of thorns." And I said, "I need you to take me to a place where you died and you came back in 3 days. "Oh, well, you know, I'm not Jesus Christ, but I'm the under-shepherd." I said, "No, you the undertaker. You taking folks to the pit just like you." And so, I had to give him the 1-2 because he came the wrong way. Now, this man took credit for the people. They were his members. That was his church. He was Dr. Reverend so-and-so. Come on. Amazing, isn't it? I'll be back in a moment. Listen, remember, don't ever live your life by the opinions of other people. Back in a moment. This is Roderick Owensby.
If I could give you the world on a silver platter, would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me. I'm finding all this, a dozen roses, which I would give to you.
Don't be My name is Elijah William Owensby. My dad will be with you shortly. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. May observe to do according to all that is written therein, and you shall have good success. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's my dad, Roderick Owens.
You know, other people's opinion of us, their opinions of us, and our pleasure in them is our assessment of the validity of their approval. We are not the passive victims of others' opinions. You know, their opinions are powerless. Get this. Their opinions are powerless until we validate them. No one's approval will affect us unless we grant it credibility and status. The same holds true for disapproval. You know, this explains why people cannot accomplish extraordinary things and still feel like a failure. This is why people can accomplish, you know, extraordinary things, great things in life, and still feel like a failure. Consider this. I'm going to quote something, and you'll be surprised who said this. I have done nothing. I have no ability to do anything that will live in the memory of mankind. My life has been spent in vain and idle aspirations and in ceaseless rejected prayers that something should be the result of my existence, beneficial to my own species. Now watch this. These words were by John Quincy Adams. And as you know, a former United States president, Secretary of State, ambassador, and congressman. But yet he felt like a failure. I'm going to deal with this. This was by John Quincy Adams. The quote that I quoted was by a former president, Secretary of State, ambassador, and congressman. Yet he felt like a failure. Why is that? Well, let's move forward. Do you know in many churches people teach this? We ain't worthy. Or we aren't worthy of God's love. That is sick doctrine. Have you lost your mind? Two people do wrong that could cause them a lifetime imprisonment. This is a true story. There were brothers. One brother took the rap and ended up doing the time for the other brother. Are you going to tell me that this brother that accepted the guilty verdict did not love his brother that committed such? Let me tell you something. Jesus took the rap for us. It was our sins. And you're going to sit here. There are many people that teach that we are not worthy of God's love. That is a sick. And some of you sit up in those places and say amen, like you've lost your mind. I am worthy of the love that God has given me. What I've done is not worthy. Let me tell you something. Before you and I were born, sin have already entered. And you're going to tell me that we are not worthy of God's love? Then you're saying that God's love is wasted. Somebody's listening. Many people across this nation, If you feel like you're not worthy of God's love, I'm here to tell you that whoever taught you that was crazy and unprepared to win your soul to Christ. Because he that wins souls, he or she, is wise. Let me tell you with all wisdom, there was peace that was made between you and God before you ever were born. Peace between you and God. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Put those hands together all across the building tonight. Let the devil know that you're encouraged. Let him know that you're encouraged. Let him know. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but somebody may be crying, but I come to let you know that God can make it all right. It's impossible to see, but God is going to work it out if you just believe. Remember this one thing while you're going through. If God delivered Daniel, guess what? He'll do the same for you. Hey.
No matter what's going on,
no matter what's
going on, he'll make it all right.
Said it in his word. Just a test of your faith. So stand strong and dry your weeping eyes. Cause joy comes in the morning and everything is gonna be alright.
Do 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 constant struggle down here, especially when all you know how to do is hustle down here. Lord, it's a miracle I'm still breathing down here. Lord, it's a battlefield down here. Lord, it's easy to get killed down here, so I keep my family near me down here, and keep my bulletproof vest on. Thank you, Lord, for making Teflon down here. Cause the ghetto has a way of manipulating the children, tricking them into believing that life has no meaning down here, down here. Lord, if you see my grandmother up there, tell her I know she's disappointed in me, hates to see me in and out of jail, but tell her life ain't as heavenly here as it is up there. And I know it's probably lovely up there, but tell her I ain't in no rush to get up there. So I keep my pistols off safe, safe at home, cause I gotta protect and feed these babies. Lately it's been hell keeping my black ass from coming up there, so I'm thankful every day and pray my enemies don't roll down a man, let me kicking and screaming up there. My people's gonna make it from down here. To my people's who didn't make it up there. My people trying to make it up from down.
Hey,
remember this until tomorrow night and forever. Until tomorrow night, I'll be praying, and we are decreeing that your life be healed from the negative words that has been against you. Some of you have been literally destroyed in your thinking because you have believed what others, family members, those who acted as though they were spiritual, somebody you think you were full of devils. Some of you have literally been crushed in your spirit. But you are healed, and you were healed. Healing is not simply just for physical, but it's for mental. Be restored. Dry bones live. Be encouraged. Until tomorrow night, this is Roderick Owensby saying to you, God bless you, I love you, and let us all become addicted to love.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, I want you to hear this. And it's something that I feel is so important. What is approval addiction? What is it? It is when we try to impress other people without letting on that we are trying to impress them. It's almost like somebody's trying to prove to you that they're not speaking to you by letting you know that they are not speaking to you. You know, you have that in people. You have people that hold on to grudges and people that don't like, you know, it's a really childish thing, but it is a disease. I have some people to this day, I'm sure you have, people that are holding your sins against you as though they have none of their own. Retarded, isn't it? So let's become addicted to love. Stop seeking the approval of other people. I mean, you would feel so much better. Take it from my queen and I, Katrina and I. Our household has godly peace because we simply don't let people in our circle. Everybody should have a place where nobody's allowed. This is spiritual. Sanity. Approval addiction involves not just trying to attract attention for what we do well. This is like glory seekers. But it's also avoiding saying what we truly think. If we believe speaking up could draw disapproval. So when you really, really know who you are, above all, you seek to please God. You seek to please God. I love you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All over this nation, let's love. It's healthy. I mean, it's really healthy to just love. Love you.
You can run. You can run, but there's no hiding place. You can't deny. Don't try to fight, cause we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you get off track, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so touch somebody, find out that they understand. When you tell them what you've been through, who you are, what you had to do, believe it when you hear them say that the God we serve has made a way for you to lay your burden down. Rest and make a joyful sound, because we love you. There is nothing you could ever, oh no, about. If you get off track, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so hug somebody now, hold tight till you let it out. Somebody's gonna stand right here and wipe away every tear. And if you need a friend, don't you wait outside, you can come on in. But even if you take your time, don't rush, it'll be alright, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about. If you get off track, turn around and
come right back because we love you and there is nothing you could ever do about it. You lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so just love,
love,
no fear,
follow me, let me see.
It is easy to be with you. You are a delight. As I delight myself in God, He gives me the desires of my heart. You are the desire of my heart. Thankful that you are here. Thankful that you share. Thankful, my King, that you're always and forever being you, the man of God, the man that makes the woman who I am. Thankful that you are the man of God who leaves the people to who they are. Thankful I am, oh man.
Oh man, oh husband, remember her. Remember, she is your womb. And when you touch her, remember, she is your womb. When you hold her and when you kiss her lips softly and gently, remember, she is your womb. When you care for her, adore her, look at her, the makings of your womb. For I love thee, my love. I know myself through my love for thee. The church has a new meaning since I found thee. Out of you come many nations, many valleys, many mountains, for the whole earth reveals the woman. From the buds on the tree, to the sounds in the forest, to the light that shines by day and light that shines by night, to the seasons, to every rain that drops from the seas, to the mountains, to the galaxies afar. Woman, my queen, I love thee more than I've ever loved.